It's a Politics Wednesday edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today joining us, Donna Hoffman in our Cedar Falls studio, department head and associate professor of political science at the University of Northern Iowa. Donna, welcome to the program.
Happy to be here, Ben.
Dave Anderson with us as well. He's in our Ames studio across the state, assistant professor of political science at Iowa State University. Dave, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
And we've got to go right to it. So much. I've said it before on this program. I'll say it again. In terms of developments during this election cycle, it's for the media, it's like drinking out of a fire hose, and we will have to pick and choose to see what we choose to drink and analyze on this hour. But first of all, we want to talk about Donald Trump tweeting out, I believe this is early yesterday, that the shackles have been taken off me. He says, now I can fight for America the way I want to. He expanded on that comment last night on Fox News with Bill O'Reilly.
The shackles are some of the establishment people that are weak and ineffective people within the Republican Party, senators and others, and Paul Ryan, led to a certain extent by Ryan.
They were holding
being
you
nasty
back?
To the nominee.
They were holding you
not
back?
Not question holding back, no, but they're not giving support. They don't give the kind of support. You know, we got more votes, more than 14 million votes, more than anybody in the history of the Republican primaries, Bill. And they don't give the support that we really need.
Okay,
now,
but I'm still
I think
confused.
I'm better off maybe without their support if you want to know the truth.
Okay, in the aftermath of the video leak, Paul Ryan saying he will not campaign for Donald Trump as well. Donald Trump criticizing the House Speaker for essentially declaring the presidential race over. He blasted John McCain as well for withdrawing his support after that 2005 Access Hollywood video. We want you to join our conversation, and Trump supporters especially. Are you still standing with Donald Trump, especially after so many GOP defections across the country, not here in the state, as we'll hear about a little bit later? And what do you think of the GOP defections? 1-866-780-9100, River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Donna, let me go to you first of all. Trump and the GOP establishment have not been on the best of terms this whole campaign, of course. What do these latest developments mean?
Well, interesting from that clip that you played of Donald Trump, he said something about, you know, basically I don't need the establishment people. And he really kind of does in a way, because what he has done in the debate, for example, and now his comments about the establishment, that the shackles are off essentially, doubles down on his base. And that's a strategy that he's apparently okay with, but he doesn't have enough of a base to actually win the general election. And so, especially from that second debate, we saw him really double down on some of the things that he previously had talked about. And it really did excite the people who were already Donald Trump supporters. It's those people who are on the fence, who maybe are supporting Trump but aren't wild about him, that he has to worry about alienating, because he needs those people if he's going to get to the White House. He can't get to the White House just by boosting up his base. He can get them enthused. That is certainly true. He can guarantee that they're going to go to the polls. But he has to expand that. And the strategy that he's kind of moved to in the last 5 days or so doesn't look fruitful in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Dave Anderson, I'm seeing now just a few hours old report from the Washington Post. Now that it's crystal clear, writes the Washington Post, Trump will not quit. He has unshackled himself, plans to limp across the finish line. Now some Republicans who called on him to drop out over the weekend are reversing themselves. One pointed to senior senator from Nebraska, Deb Fischer, tweeting on the weekend that she was the comments of Donald Trump in that video, disgusting, totally unacceptable under any circumstance. It would be wise for him to step aside and allow Mike Pence to serve as the party's nominee. But yesterday, during a radio interview, she announced she will vote for Trump after all. So the analysis here, perhaps the blowback is big for those who defected over the weekend.
Yes. A lot of Republicans have been put in rather an impossible situation right now, where if they go out against Donald Trump, they're really at risk of losing his supporters. Those supporters may come to the polls, vote for Donald Trump, and then not vote for Republicans who refuse to endorse him. And as a Republican, it's hard to win if you don't have Republicans voting for you. Conversely, if you choose to endorse him and say you don't like what he said, but you're still going to vote for him, then you run the risk of alienating independents, and you're never going to get Democrats voting for you. But so you really have to make a very, very difficult calculation about, in your specific district, what kind of votes are more important to you. Can you win with just Republican votes? And I think if you look at the map, in a lot of safe Republican districts, people are still saying, you know what, I endorse Trump because I need Republican votes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's listen to what, according to polling, seems to be a safe reelection for Chuck Grassley. I don't want to really say that too much. We are several weeks out from the election, but polling is showing Chuck Grassley with a double-digit lead. Iowa's six-term senator says Trump's comments about women in this newly released recording from 2005 are disgusting, but he says he won't waver in his vow to support Republican Donald Trump in the election.
With her attitude towards things in the Middle East and towards terrorism, Hillary would make our country less safe, and for sure pursuing the same economic policies that she's going to pursue, the same ones that Obama pursued, Iowans are going to be less prosperous.
Okay, how do you read that? Donna Hoffman, Chuck Grassley has earned himself the title in the past as a maverick here, staying by Trump's side.
Well, and, you know, it makes sense. Again, he's a strategic politician, and this may be something the public doesn't like at the moment, but all politicians are strategic. And he knows that Donald Trump is doing well in the state of Iowa, and we're one of the swing states that really is kind of pink in the sense of, will it go red or blue right now? And so he's looking at polls, he's looking at things on the ground, and it's not going to cost him much if he's not in Donald Trump's corner, or as he typically puts it, he's going to support the party's nominee. And, you know, he is a handily beating Judge in the last poll that you mentioned there by 17 points, but he's not beating his opponent as much as he did in his last cycle, which I think it was about 30 points. But again, it doesn't take, you know,
right.
The margin there is not particularly important other than...
We're not playing horseshoes, are we?
Right. He is probably going to win that election unless something else comes out and things develop. But he's not winning as much. If we look at the vote being held today, he wouldn't be winning by as much, it would seem, as he had in previous cycles. But at the end of the day, a win is a win.
Okay. Join our conversation with Donna Hoffman of the University of Northern Iowa, Dave Anderson of the University of Iowa State University, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Larry. Larry in Pleasant Valley, are you a Trump supporter?
Yes, indeed, and I'm also a Steve King,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Grassley, and Joni Ernst supporter.
Very good. So you're still with him in light of this past weekend. Did the video have sway you at all?
No, and this is what my party, the GOP, believes. We believe in what Trump says. We all speak to that, and he is our voice. And what he says, everything he says is true. And Grassley, and especially Senator Grassley, a fine senator, believes in everything that Trump has said up to this point. And people need to understand that. There's no doubt.
When you say you believe everything Donald Trump says, now we have several sources that do fact-checking here, and we can see that actually more than half of Trump's claims are proven by PolitiFact and other organizations to have false or to actually be untrue. Larry, how do you react to that, or how do you interpret that?
I just look at the numbers for the state of Iowa, and overwhelmingly, Trump will be chosen in the state, as he'll get the votes in Iowa, as the good people of Iowa always come through, and they'll see to it that they vote for Trump, and he'll win the state.
Mm-hmm.
They'll mark my words, because Senator Grassley, Joni Ernst, and Steve King all believe in everything that he says is true, and that is what we should stand by.
Larry, one last question before I let you go. We have other callers here. Donald Trump said right here in Iowa a few months ago that he could shoot someone in the middle of town and he would still have supporters. Are you one of those?
Well, if you look at the backing of the NRA with Steve King, Grassley, and Ernst, look, absolutely. Yep, that's true. Second Amendment rights, and that's what Trump believes in, and that's what we're going to vote for.
Larry in Pleasant Valley, thanks for your view.
Thank you.
1-866-780-9100. So there we hear it, Dave Anderson. Iowa is a swing state, and according to the last Iowa poll, I think the last Iowa poll, one of the most accurate to measure Iowa, albeit before this 2005 Trump video came out, has Trump ahead here in Iowa, and we just heard one of the voices to explain that.
Sure. The last poll that came out was the Seltzer and Company poll that had him up by 4 points, and I think Iowa right now is kind of a really good story for Trump. Where he's been declining across the nation, he has not really been declining in Iowa. If anything, I think he's been strengthening, kind of going against the tide. Iowa's really becoming kind of a bulwark for him, that as long as he can hold on to Iowa, he has a chance of kind of a miraculous recovery throughout the nation. And this is maybe the place where he starts to make a comeback. He just needs to strengthen here and then maybe expand into other states. It's a real far stretch of the imagination to see that happening right now. He's had probably two of the worst weeks in presidential campaigning history, and the clock is running out.
Let's talk about Senator Joni Ernst. She's a freshman senator, just elected the last election in 2014. She sent a tweet over the weekend denouncing the contents of the vulgar 2005 recording of Trump, though this Monday she explained that while she does not condone or excuse Trump's actions, the election is bigger than Donald Trump, and it is about the direction of the company. The country, excuse me. Let's listen.
I am voting for my Republican Party, and I've told others I'm not fighting for Donald Trump. I am fighting for my country.
Okay, as of this weekend, Joni Ernst is the only Republican woman serving in the U.S. Senate who has not called for Donald Trump to step aside or vowed not to vote for him. Five of six GOP senators, female senators, have. Donna Hoffman, comment on that. Joni Ernst, also a political calculation, you believe?
Yeah, and I mean, it's trying to thread the needle here. But, you know, look at, you brought up Deb Fischer earlier from neighboring Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And over the weekend, she said, you know, I think that we should replace him as the nominee. Essentially, she indicated support for Pence in that regard. And now she's walked that back. And she kind of did it in a really odd fashion. And part of that calculation, you know, is that she indicated in her statement was that, well, we were trying to put pressure on Donald Trump. Well, the pressure didn't work. He said, under no circumstances will I, you know, get out. And so then three of the people at last count who had said he shouldn't be our nominee have walked it back now. And so he intimidated them or something to that effect. They heard from their constituents is likely what happened, in that they didn't like the fact that they had people in the Senate in particular saying that I don't like these comments, and going further than Joni Ernst did there, saying, and also I think that he shouldn't be our nominee. And some of those people have walked that back because Donald Trump's not going anywhere. And, you know, if you want to compare Joni Ernst to Deb Fischer, Deb Fischer's not on the, or Joni Ernst, either one aren't up for election this time. But, you know, how do they fare then in the future, given that, you know, Joni Ernst seemingly threaded that needle perhaps better than Senator Fischer did.
Mm-hmm. Does it also have something to do with the fact that also Joni Ernst will not be up for re-election, given a 6-year term for a senator, until 2020?
That's correct. And okay. So she has some space there in which, you know, voters forget an awful lot of things. And so she, you know, she came out and said the comments are reprehensible, but I'm going to support my party's nominee. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out, because still there are a lot of things that could potentially develop here. But there are some people looking at the actions of senators in particular over the weekend that think they may have been a bit too hasty, because some of those have then walked that statement back.
1-866-780-9100. Let's go back to the phones. John, listening in Des Moines, welcome to our program. What's on your mind, John?
Well, I find it disturbing that these individuals in the Iowa Republican Party are putting their party before they put their principles. Because you can't support Donald Trump without endorsing everything he has done throughout his campaign. And I'm not saying what Democrats have said, they've said it, or what his detractors say. I'm saying what, in his own words, who he has picked fights with, who he has degraded, and who he has insulted.
Mm-hmm.
So I just cannot believe that Branstad, Ernst, and Grassley endorse a man of that caliber.
John, may I ask if you're a registered Democrat, Republican, or no party?
I'm a no party. I'm independent.
Okay, John, thanks for Des Moines. From Des Moines, Dave Anderson, what about that? Politicians putting party before principle, not unusual?
Well, I think this kind of goes back to what Donna said earlier about how politicians are strategic. We don't like to talk about this as much. We like to think that they are very principled individuals who do what they believe in, but they're strategic. In order to become an office holder, you have to win an election, and you have to balance the repercussions of all your actions against that hope for winning re-election. And right now for Republicans, I think they look at Donald Trump and they say, well, I don't agree with a lot of what he's saying, or at least how he is saying things. But what's the benefit if I stand against him? As a Republican, you're a member of a political party, and like it or not, the presidential candidate becomes the standard bearer for the party. Most people who go out and vote on Election Day go out and vote for the presidential candidate. So if you stand against that candidate, you're really only going to anger members of your own party. There may be a minority within your party who support you, but most of your party is going to say, hey, you know what, we're in this together. Whether our candidate makes errors or not, we have to stand united. That's the only way we win. And there's just very few positive results from standing against a member of your party.
Mm-hmm. I wonder to ask you, Donna Hoffman, of course, in the past weekend's debate, this was dragged into it, Bill Clinton's time in office and his affairs. Is there, broadly speaking here, when we talk about morale and so forth, did we see the same thing on the other side, the Democrats staying by an elected president at that point when some abandoned or didn't abandon?
Well, I think with the Bill Clinton episode and particularly how it plays right now, one important thing to remember is that at the week that Bill Clinton was impeached by the House of Representatives, in which the Republicans controlled that, Bill Clinton registered his highest public approval of his presidency. The general interpretation of that is that Americans were seen interpreted that as the Republicans overreaching there, if you will. And Hillary Clinton was very popular at that particular period of time, too. And so the calculation that the Trump campaign has in bringing that up is does that engender sympathy on the part of Clinton? And again, the other point I want to kind of go back to the first caller in particular, you asked him about facts. I mean, one of the things that we know as political scientists about when, you know, fervent partisans are presented with facts that may contradict the opinions that they hold is that they double down on those opinions. You know, facts go out the window in that sense. And so, again, Donald Trump playing in the second debate to his base works really well for his base, but he has to expand that to win the general election. And the independents and particularly women are not on board with that particular strategy. And the Bill Clinton episodes play into that to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to our phones. Jennifer in Waukee. Jennifer, welcome to our program. Are you there,
Jennifer?
Hi there, Jennifer. You're on the air. Welcome to River.
Thanks.
Go ahead. What is your view on this?
Well, I don't necessarily have a view. It's just more of a question. I mean, I see Donald Trump, and, you know, somebody was just talking about politicians being strategic, and I look at him sometimes and I wonder, is he really strategic, or is he just, you know, his narcissistic self that doesn't really think before acting? And I look at it and wonder, does he even really want to win at this point, or has he figured out that he's not going to win? And, you know, the alternative to that is, you know, let's be as out there as possible, talk about the system being corrupt, talk about all the blaming everybody else, so that he's still getting that attention that he, mm-hmm. you know, so needs.
Let's get a reaction to that.
You're
not the only one, Jennifer. Jennifer in Waukee, thanks for that. We're going to get an answer or some reaction from our guests before we go to break. Dave Anderson, this is one of the Well, I guess there's several conspiracy theories about there to explain Donald Trump. This is one of them, that he doesn't really want the presidency. That has another goal in mind.
Yeah, there are a couple of conspiracy theories that at the end of the election, he's actually going to open up his own TV station to rival Fox News. And what he's really doing is putting together a base of viewers that will watch him. There's a bunch of different theories. And I think it is an open question about whether he is playing this strategically to win. And I question that. I think there is some credence there. and that maybe his strategy is not well tailored to politics. Politics is a very unique game, and if you want to win an election, you have to know what the rules of the game are.
And he has, being a businessman, he doesn't always, in his business life, hasn't always come out on top in business negotiations, and you better believe he has a plan B and a plan C if his plan A doesn't work.
Right, but he knows the rules of business. I think one of the things we've seen with him talking about his business deals and his taxes is that he understands the tax code, and he plays the rules of the tax code to win, to make the most profit for himself. He spent about 15 years in the media industry, and he played the media industry to win. He got great ratings by doing the kind of things on TV that grabs attention. It's less clear that he understands the rules of politics. He's playing a great media strategy right now. He gets these big crowds, big audiences. He says very inflammatory things that the press covers every day, puts on the top headlines of every newspaper. He's getting all the attention that he's used to, and for him, that's winning. The problem he's running into is not everybody likes it. Viewership is not voting, and what his advisors, I think, have been saying to him for at least a month, if not five or six, is that you have to turn viewership into people liking you and appreciating your views. And he's not doing a great job of that right now.
Okay. We want to go to a quick caller before we take a break. Natalie, also in Waukee. Not much time, Natalie. Please make your point or ask your question.
Hello. I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm 53 years old. And I think by saying that they're going to vote for the party's nominee or vote for their things, people like our governor and our Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst are just trying to avoid the fact that they're voting for Donald Trump. They're just doing it. They're putting the party ahead of the good of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just totally disgusted with them.
You say you're a lifelong Republican. Can you tell us where your where is your support going in November? Do you know yet?
I have no idea. I thought maybe Gary Johnson, or maybe I'll write someone in, or maybe Hillary. She'd be far more qualified to lead than Donald Trump would. At least he's sane.
Natalie in Waukee, thank you very much. We're going to take a short break after this. We'll look forward to more of your input. 1-866-780-9100. Also wanting to hear from Trump supporters, of course. Are you standing with Donald Trump? What do you think of the GOP defections? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Dave Anderson of Iowa State University with us. Donna Hoffman of the University of Northern Iowa, picking apart the last few days in politics. And, it has been coming fast and furious. We'll have some more words, some more analysis from Donna and Dave after we take a short break. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Ben Kiefer with a Wednesday Politics Edition. Donna Hoffman with us of the University of Northern Iowa. Dave Anderson of Iowa State University picking over the politics of the last few days. Of course, Donald Trump unshackled. He says the shackles have been taken off, and now he can fight for America the way he wants to. And he is having his share of fights within his own party with Paul Ryan and others, defectors over the weekend, some of them actually coming back into the fold after denouncing Donald Trump after the release late Friday of that 2005 Hollywood Access video. Inviting you to join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa's 4th District attacked House Speaker Paul Ryan for not standing by GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. King told a rally for GOP Vice Presidential nominee Mike Pence, there was no reason for Ryan to publicly announce his decision to abandon Trump.
Maybe we wouldn't have noticed, because I hadn't seen him advocating for Donald Trump up until this point either. So I think it hurts a lot, and it changed the narrative, and the bounce in the spring that would have come from a rousing victory in the debate on Sunday night was diminished.
Okay, there's 4th District Congressman Steve King, and let's go back to our phones, 1-866-780-9100. Michelle in Cedar Rapids, what is your reaction? What's on your mind after the fast and furious few days of politics we've had? Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air, Michelle. Go ahead.
Thank you. Have any of the Trump supporters been groped by a sexual predator? And if so, would they still support Trump?
Mm. That's a good question. Those are hypotheticals, and politicians generally do not answer those questions. But I get your point, Michelle. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let's go to this email from Katie. Katie emails, lots of talk regarding the strategy of sticking by Trump to get through the upcoming election. But what's the long-term fallout? She writes, she can't imagine what that being a popular opinion down the road. On the other side of it, let's listen to this. At a campaign event yesterday here in Newton, Iowa, a woman spoke to the vice presidential candidate Mike Pence, saying she was concerned about the possibility of voter fraud this election and the potential of a Hillary Clinton administration.
I will tell you, from me personally, if Hillary Clinton gets in, I myself, I'm ready for a revolution because we can't have her in.
Yeah, you don't say
but
that.
I'm just saying it. No, you know, I'm like Trump.
Okay, ready for a revolution. One of your fellow Iowans there, and we heard Mike Pence saying, don't say that, in response to this Iowa woman's call for a revolution. What do you think of that? Donna Hoffman, we have such polarized sides here. Katie emailing, what could possibly be the long-term fallout? And then we have this woman here in Newton saying, revolution if Hillary Clinton gets into office.
Well, it certainly is problematic because, let's say, Hillary Clinton is elected. Donald Trump has done various things in terms of his rhetoric, in terms of delegitimizing both Hillary Clinton presidency as well as delegitimizing the vote that would potentially elect her if she were to be elected, for example. And then if his supporters do not accept that they lose the election, what then do they do? I mean, if you look back at American history, we have a system of electoral rules and laws that when you lose, you accept the results of that. In 2000, Al Gore won the popular vote. There's no doubt Al Gore won the popular vote, but that's not the thing that elects the president. The Electoral College does. The Electoral College said that George W. Bush won. Al Gore supporters were certainly disheartened, but they didn't riot in the streets. Because as Americans, historically, we have always accepted the results of elections. When you start to say that there's massive voter fraud, which we know factually is not true, then you whip your supporters up in this demagogic style, then you have raised legitimate questions that we have about whether Donald Trump supporters will accept the outcome of this election if the outcome is that Hillary Clinton wins.
Mm-hmm. Dave Anderson, here we get to perhaps a different goal of Donald Trump. Why did he in the debate not try to expand his appeal, rather just revving up his base more and more? You as worried as Donna Hoffman is here?
To a degree, yes. I think first I want to say kudos to Mike Pence, because he actually stood up to somebody and said, no, we don't have revolutions in this country. We are a country that is based upon peaceful transition of power, and we don't revolt because we lose an election. And unfortunately, I think this is a problem that has become rather localized in the Republican Party over the last 30 years, where there is just a growing distrust of almost everything. The Republican Party largely distrusts the media. They call it the lamestream media. They distrust academia. They don't trust government. And with this level of distrust out there, you have to wonder, like, well, where do you turn to say it's okay that, you know, you lost an election? I mean, all the evidence right now suggests that Hillary Clinton is poised to have a large victory. Polling evidence, journalistic reports, almost every piece of evidence suggests this. But if an entire group of supporters refuses to believe the evidence, we're at risk for, I don't know, protests. Protests are fine, but maybe violent protests, and that's really scary.
Okay, join our conversation with Dave Anderson and Donna Hoffman, our political analysts this week, 1-866-780-9100. Chris is with us from Des Moines. Thanks for calling in, Chris. What's your input?
Yes, you know, one of the reasons Trump is probably still ahead here in Iowa. Iowa has a lot of folks that have that racist mindset like Trump, and that's part of the problem. But it helps them, especially when you take like your folk like King. King has a Confederate flag that sits on his desk there in Washington, D.C. So that's that, and King is just all over the place for these guys, for Trump. And so when you, when folks have that racist mindset like that, there's going to always be problems. You know, when Trump, with folks like Trump, when, and the folks that are for him, they also have that same type of mindset. That's why they don't have any problem with anything that he says. He can tell all the lies that he wants, and it's still not going to be a problem to them.
Okay,
Chris
in Des Moines, we got the point. Thank you very much. Might be an opportunity, Donna Hoffman, to talk about how Donald Trump is doing with certain demographic groups, African-Americans, Latinos, other groups, women. He's not doing well enough in these demographic groups to poll better, is he?
He's not. And, you know, if you look at the things that he has said, you know, the Judge Curiel in Indiana, the Mexican judge who Mexican heritage judge who he said, you know, wasn't qualified to judge in his case. He's had various comments about lots of different groups, women, African-Americans as well. And he needs to, again, to win a general election, expand into those kinds of audiences because the base isn't enough, as I've said repeatedly here. And, you know, one of the callers, you know, talked about the experience of women. He's doing historically poorly with women, in part because, you know, his comments that came out in that Access Hollywood video should not have really been news. He's written about that kind of thing in his books. He's on record in lots of areas as essentially not having a very good opinion of women.
So
and that
has
impacted his numbers with women. Having said that, though, there are still women that support him. But, you know, again, the margins there of women not supporting him have grown.
So all these people who are surprised at this video talk that Donald Trump had recorded, is that feigned surprise or they're just not paying attention?
Well, I don't know that it was feigned surprise, but maybe this was the straw that broke the camel's back because it was audio and video. It wasn't, you know, something that we're reading about in the newspaper or in a book. And it got a lot of play as well. And it was shocking, I think, to hear that come out of Trump's mouth rather than having to read it, you know, secondhand out of a newspaper or in one of his books, those kinds of things. I wouldn't say the outrage is feigned in that sense, but it's really not surprising that there didn't exist video of him saying things that he, you know, we knew that he had essentially said in other venues, but we had different media formats in which to access those.
All of the reaction to the 2005 video, of course, overshadowing a lot of issues that are normally discussed in political campaigns, should be discussed in political campaigns. Also, perhaps Donald Trump missing an opportunity, the anti-secrecy organization WikiLeaks, trying to take an active role in this presidential election, apparently, even as our federal intelligence officials are openly speculating that the group has become a mouthpiece of the Russian government. Yesterday, WikiLeaks releasing its third cache of material allegedly stolen from the email account of John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. In fact, he's been on this program several years ago. Dave Anderson, when you look at the WikiLeaks receiving much less attention because of all the other things going on than it would in a, let's say, normal election year, what are some of the things these emails are showing?
From what I've seen so far, they show a lot of the internal conversations that happen within political campaigns, where members of the campaigns talk about what the message should be, how to craft the message, and there's internal dissension about how the campaign should be conducted. And then ultimately they make a decision, and that becomes the public face of the campaign. Any campaign manager will tell you one of the chief things you have to do is come up with a message and stay on message. This is what the public likes to see. Behind the scenes, it's a lot messier than that. And these emails, from what I've seen so far, it just shows a lot of the internal sausage-making process of coming up with a campaign message.
Mm-hmm. Are these, Donald, let me ask you, are these emails embarrassing in any way damaging for Clinton?
I mean, again, I would agree with Dave. It's the sausage making that you're seeing, and we know that stuff goes on in campaigns. The messaging is important. The strategy is important.
Some of it isn't pleasant.
Do you get backbiting in campaigns? Of course you do. You know, would those people prefer those emails not be in the public eye? Of course. But, you know, it did get totally overshadowed, these emails, by the Donald Trump story. And, you know, so once again, you had a story about Donald Trump sucking all the oxygen out of the room. But again, you know, people who are already firmly in the Hillary Clinton camp or firmly in the Donald Trump camp, the new information that they've been receiving, they discount in a lot of ways. And so the supporters are going to remain the supporters. It's those people who are more low information voters, who haven't been paying attention up to this point, that, you know, potentially can be affected by these kinds of things. But the emails, this batch of emails, got totally overshadowed by Donald Trump and a much more salacious story, I would say. And that's kind of, you know, how the media believes that's what people want to see. And sometimes people respond in that way.
Donna Hoffman of the University of Northern Iowa. Donna, Ron from Eldora has an email question for you. Donna Hoffman, he writes, referenced the data that in the face of data that conflicts with their beliefs, many double down on the belief. He asks, is that true equally between Democrats and Republicans? Love that question, Ron. What do you say, Donna?
And I don't know the answer to that. That's a study that Brendan Nyhan did. I do not recall that the study that he did was broken out by partisanship, but maybe Dave would know.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it was. And from what I know, there are no real partisan differences in, we call this motivated reasoning. And it's a broad phenomenon in all kinds of psychology. Once people have made a decision to do something, it becomes very hard to shake them away from that decision. So, I mean, we talk about it with partisan politics, but if you go out and buy a Samsung TV and then later on you hear that LG TVs are better, you are more likely to say, no, that new information is bad. I'm sticking with my TV because I made a good decision. This is just pervasive in how we as human beings think.
And then we like to then consume the media that agrees with our positions we already have. So we go to Breitbart or Rush Limbaugh or Fox News or Huffington Post, right?
Absolutely. We always like to think that we're making the smartest decision possible. And we seek out confirmatory information that supports us, and we react pretty nastily against any information that seems to violate that.
Let's listen to a Donald Trump a new television ad. He's had very few of these where Hillary Clinton, we played it in the past, Hillary Clinton ads. This is a new Donald Trump ad raising questions about Hillary Clinton's health. The visuals here, you'll hear the audio in just a moment, visuals showing images of her coughing and being helped upstairs by staffers. Here's audio from the ad titled Dangerous.
Hillary Clinton failed every single time as Secretary of State. Now she wants to be president. Hillary Clinton doesn't have the fortitude, strength, or stamina to lead in our world. She failed as Secretary of State. Don't let her fail us again.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Donna Hoffman, how do you like that tact? Effective?
Well, it's again going to be it's a scary commercial, right? The music even is ominous, and you know, negative commercials do affect some people. But again, if you are already a Hillary Clinton supporter, you know about the things in terms of which those video clips that are there were taken. She had pneumonia. She was sick. I think all of the clips from that particular video came from that period of time. And if you're already a Donald Trump supporter, yeah, go, you know, that's right. She doesn't have the stamina. Trump says that over and over again. And so I don't know that it will change any minds.
Interestingly enough, we caught in the end of this last debate, though, when asked to name something they admired in the other, the last questioner from the audience, Donald Trump's answer was that she never gives up. She's relentless, right?
That's right.
And sort of the opposite of not having stamina.
It is. And I mean, that, you know, that's actually something at the time that he said that I thought, well, you know, she doesn't have a lot of stamina, but she never gives up. So I'm not sure how one reconciles that. But, you know, this is part of Donald Trump's attempt to portray Hillary Clinton as unfit for office, because that's one of the key points that she's trying to make about Donald Trump, that he is unfit for office. And we've often seen in this campaign when Hillary Clinton makes a charge against Donald Trump, he kind of turns it back on her.
Mm-hmm. Former President Bill Clinton now campaigning in Iowa for Hillary Clinton, his wife, this week, promoting early voting during a bus tour that will stop in four cities. Bill Clinton scheduled to speak, according to the information I have, today in Indianola, Waterloo as well, Linn County, and Davenport on the docket for Bill Clinton tomorrow. The Hillary Clinton campaign having him out stumping for Hillary. So that must mean, Dave, they see him as more of a benefit than a liability. Is he?
Well, yes, and he's more of a benefit right now because he's going to go out and attract mainly Democrats and Hillary supporters to go to his rallies. And at these rallies, one of the things he will say is go out and vote early. And this is a really important part of modern campaigns. The estimates this year are about 40% of all votes are going to be cast before Election Day. And for the two campaigns, you want to bank as many votes as you can early on and build up your lead. And the value of Bill Clinton is he's attractive to Democratic voters. He will attract them to rallies. And while at those rallies, Bill will say, go down the street, turn left, go into this office. And that's where there's an early voting center. Go cast your ballots right now. And then once we know that you've all voted, we can turn our attention to other members of the electorate. One of the big problems right now with the Republican Party is that the Trump campaign has very few surrogates compared to the Democratic campaign. The Trump campaign does not have field offices, not nearly as many as the Democrats do, and they're just not capable of putting together the get-out-the-vote effort that the Democrats are. And this means that even if Trump was polling dead even with Hillary across the country, Hillary's likely to turn out more of her base of voters, and that means Trump is playing behind.
Mm-hmm. 27 days before the election, you're saying that it would be historic, more than historic, if Donald Trump could swing this?
It would be something for the record books.
Okay. Donna Hoffman, when you look at the latest polls, national polls, swing state polls, what are you seeing?
Well, I think you're seeing movement for Hillary Clinton. You want to look at polling averages typically when trying to get the lay of the land. Sometimes in swing states this is difficult to do because, again, Iowa's a swing state, but there's been relatively little polling. And so it's important to look, you know, for electoral college purposes, it's important to look at those swing states and looking at which way they're going. But, you know, to kind of echo what Dave was saying about lack of ground game, but also some new states in play. And so even though Iowa is potentially pink, as I mentioned, right now, you've got states like Utah in which a poll just came out and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were tied in that particular poll. Now, that's just one poll. But we've long known that people in Utah are not particularly going to the Donald Trump bandwagon. You've got Georgia in play. You've got Arizona potentially in play. Those are states that we wouldn't have a year ago dreamed of being talked about in this manner, typically in being states that might go to the Democrats. And so that ground game for Hillary Clinton is really important. And again, we can go back to looking at what Donald Trump did in the state of Iowa in the run-up to the caucuses. He didn't have a ground game, and so he doesn't have that to build upon in the general election. And it's also important, I think, to note here that he got less than a quarter of the caucus votes in the state, and he didn't win. Ted Cruz won. And he now doesn't have those resources to draw upon for the general election because those networks that Ted Cruz, for example, put together very successfully aren't there for him. And so you have to create that by scratch. And they didn't set out to do that. They're not using the data science that Democrats used very effectively in the last two other cycles before this one. And so they're really behind in that sense. Now, what Donald Trump has that he's relying on is that star power, is that ability to fill an arena and get people enthused. But will those people go out and vote early? Will those people go out and talk to their neighbor and get them to vote?
No.
Will those people volunteer and go door to door? And that's what we're not seeing in the Trump campaign.
Right, and vote early is an interesting concept there, too. We have to keep that in mind. Dave Anderson, we started voting early here in Iowa more than a week ago. So when we talk about voting November 8th, what is it, 40% of people in the country have already voted?
Yeah, by November 8th, we're estimating that somewhere between 30 and 40% of all Americans who are going to vote have already cast their ballot, which means the real risk here for Donald Trump is right now if he's polling behind, even if there is some mid-October surprise that really destroys the Hillary campaign, there may be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of votes already cast on her behalf that can't be invalidated.
Mm. Okay, very quickly, we have just a minute or so left. Next Wednesday evening, the final debate, presidential debate, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, expectations quickly, Donald? Or Donna. Excuse me.
No problem. I think that, in the first debate, we really, I think, saw Trump be Trump. In the second debate, we saw Trump even more be Trump. And I think, you know, the whole shackles are off kind of notion is that, you know, he's essentially got nothing to lose. And so I would expect him to, in some ways, go nuclear, like he did in the second debate, in terms of the criticisms of Hillary Clinton that he has brought up, and, you know, trying very much to dominate that forum.
Okay, Dave Anderson, unshackled Donald Trump on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think he's going to really appeal to his core base of support, which may drive away independents.
Okay, thanks very much. Dave Anderson, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University. Donna Hoffman, Department Head and Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Northern Iowa. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jason Burns and Tony Daner. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.